What's goody, y'all? You guys know who it is. Ringside Rave. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and let's get into this podcast.
What up, world? It's your boy News, representing Ringside Rave all day. Y'all know what it is with me, man. Hey, today, it's another episode, live episode of the Fade Hour. You know, it's an hour. I'm live. So it's only right. Sitting with me is my comrades, as usual. I'm going to toss it around the table first.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Smoke from Free Smoke Boxing, and I got that Bubba Kush on deck, so let's get it going.
Yeah. What's good, y'all? It's Pat Scorpio, the New England representative. And as always, man, I got my red wine with me, so let's do this.
Yeah, y'all. So, I don't know. Actually, I know y'all seen it. I can't even say I don't know if y'all seen it. I know you seen it because, Pat, I seen you post it. What y'all thinking about the fact that Canelo Alvarez and Danny Jacobs are fighting? And they announced the ticket prices today, saying that the prices for the fight for them are, what, like $2,500? I'm sorry. I want to make sure it's accurately. I said accurately. $2,505 for ringside, $1,505, $1,205, $805, $605, $405, $305, and now mind you, this is at the T-Mobile. It's only the arena. It's big, but we're already at 305. And we only have two spaces left to go, 205 and 105 to get in the door. How do y'all feel about those prices for Canelo Alvarez versus Danny Jacobs on Cinco de Mayo?
I mean, we all know DAZN is throwing their money around like it's nobody's thing, you know, like it's WCW in its dying days, man, just signing anything. So what they're going to have, so, I mean, the prices are reflective of the fact that, you know, you got to re-up on that investment. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's why, you know, if you want to be big time in for this particular fight, you know, you got to ante up that 2.5K. Now, how I feel about the prices, though, is because of the fact that we don't know what's on this undercard yet. So we don't even know if the prices are going to be reflective of, a lit undercard. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So they're about $2,000 too much at the bare minimum. And my thing is, where are you going to sit if you pay $305? Like, does that get you do you get to chill at level 700? Or do you get to chill off the banister and maybe do some pull-ups?
Or are you going to a room and watching a TV at the arena?
No, not at the arena. Like the guest house outside. Here's my thing. Okay, DAZN is paying Canelo $35 million a fight or whatever. They're paying AJ $32 million a fight. They're gonna throw $15 million a fight at Triple G. I'm wondering what else is happening at these fights for $2,500. Like, what else do you get? Because you have to get more than boxing, right? Like, mm-hmm. Does like a circus come with it? Is it right. Like some special UK shit?
Special bottles of Corona.
Yeah.
The Tecate. What does Canelo use? The special bottle Tecate. You know what I mean? Like, you get those. You get the Corona girls for a night.
Do you get to chill with Canelo?
Chill with the Tecate girls.
Get to be an corner man or something.
I'm gonna tell you this. I would love to go and see that fight, but I am not going to take out a small loan to go see a fucking boxing match.
Right.
That
price is ridiculous. That price is ridiculous. $305? I don't like the $205 price. The $105, okay, I can understand getting in the door $100. Okay, I can understand that. But actually being at the MGM and actually going to places like that, you know, that 205 is nothing but the bleachers, but you're in like the first half of the bleachers instead of the back end of the bleachers. Like, you're still up in the bleachers. So I have to pay $200 to see Canelo and Jacobs in the bleachers?
So here's my thing. I'm paying $10 a month for DAZN for fights that I could probably see at, like, you know, a bar where they're like a bunch of drunk dudes that also work out, hang out. Like, we've seen Big Baby fight like 4 times in the last 3 months. And so if DAZN is already charging me $10 and I'm a huge Canelo fan, how are you seriously going to charge him $2,500 before service fees? Because you know those service fees are at least 10%.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, that's the way of the boxing world, man. That's how it goes. I mean, it's not the first promotion. It's not the first event that has.
You
know what I'm saying?
Pat, on the flip side, you posted that Loma, Anthony Crolla, like, ringside seats were like $312.25.
Yeah, but that's also a noticeably lesser fight. I mean...
Oh, it's not the same profile?
I mean, it's not ESPN Plus. You know, Canelo Jacobs is a big middleweight fight.
Yeah.
Crolla is a fight that nobody wants to see Lomachenko, like, be in. So it's like... I mean, not even Lomachenko fans want to see this fight. So it's just like... I mean, it's on ESPN Plus, for crying out loud. Not even regular ESPN, so you know... So you know what time it is with that fight, so you know. But it's $312 for ringsides, I think.
I definitely go to it. Y'all know how I feel about the Matrix, you know, number one pound for pound, best 12 fight resume in history.
That's another discussion for another episode, but. I'm saying, like, so Canelo fans, the thing is, there's going to be a lot of people who actually do still go see it.
Oh, definitely. Canelo's a super draw. You know, like, of course, people are definitely going to tune in to see, Canelo fight Danny Jacobs in Vegas on Cinco de Mayo. You know it's going to be bought, you know, like that. But it's just that.
It's gonna be sold out. I mean, it's gonna be sort of like straight up and down. I mean, it's gonna be rocking a whole bunch of Mexican holds about celebrations and stuff like that. So, I mean, I don't think the Matchroom Boxing, you know, has to worry about anything regarding a live gate revenue. You know what I'm saying? It's just one of those things. Just like,
it's insulting. No, for real, it's insulting to real fans. Like, remember when Mayweather-Pacquiao fought and the tickets ended up going for, like, $9,000? And
yeah,
the fight ended up being, like, some shit you could see at, like, a local club.
Hey.
I liked
that Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. I know a lot of people say they didn't, but that's because they went for the hype. I just looked at it as a fight on its own. I liked that fight. But... Yeah.
Well, not me. I mean, my thing was, it wasn't just the fight. It was just the whole promotion of that card. Like, they could
Pat didn't like it.
You know, they could have built that card up because I complained about the card, the undercard itself. There was two undercard fights that no one wanted to see. You know, and it was just like, so the whole promotion was just from beginning, and it was just god-awful, and the fight itself was awful. You know? And you know, because the next week after that, Canelo... And fucking James Kirkland pretty much outshined it and, you know, took all the attention off it.
That's true.
I mean, so kind of for comparison purposes, right? I went to see Mikey Garcia versus Robert Easter, and I sat in the closest seat possible that was not classified as a ringside seat, and that cost me $250, probably $270 after service fees. And shout out to our boy Champside for hitting me with that early link. So what did you pay to see Wilder Ortiz news, and where'd you sit?
I sat in section 106, I believe. 106, and I paid like $125.
106 in Park?
Could have been. You know what I'm saying? So I was definitely parked because I was doing a live fade hour.
You were lit.
Of course. I wouldn't be able to do the fade hour if I wasn't.
Sure.
Speaking of that, I need to take a sip of this. I didn't even tell y'all what I had with me. I forgot.
What you got on deck, dog?
What you got on deck?
Man, I got the OG Kush, but also got my Ciroc back in my system. The last couple shows I did, I've been doing it with a little bit of tequila, switching it up a little bit, getting my little
Mexican thing going on.
Yeah, you know what I mean? We had some tacos the other night. It was Taco Tuesday. We actually had a whole big taco party here the other day.
Tacos for the fight party. Shit.
Yeah, man. We had that with the tequila. And somebody put me on to the 1942. I said, I definitely got to get down to Fade Hour. That's going to be an all-day Fade Hour. Once I get to 1942, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yo, so did you end up having, like, did you have a Spanish friend over to make, like, legit tacos? Or were you making, like, you know, white people tacos?
No, man, we black. We can make every food.
Oh, I've never had black tacos.
Oh, man, you gotta try them. The black
chicken. Yo, I remember the first time I had black chicken for real. I was like, damn.
Right.
This is a whole different. Yeah, way better than Popeyes. This is a whole different arena of taste.
Well, Popeyes.
But yo, Pat. I mean, you have gone to a bunch of fights, mm-hmm. kind of as a broadcast guy a few times, but of the fights that you had to pay for. What was the most you had to pay, and how was that relative to the experience?
So let's see. The most I had to pay, I would probably have to say the most I had to pay was probably maybe Thurman Porter.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but in my seats, I mean, I think I paid like 170 something, but I was on the lower level. So, you know, and it was definitely worth my while. I mean, and there were other fights too that I paid even less. But I mean, I was fucking ringside for one of Gary Russell's fights, you know, and I paid less than that. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, y'all the finesse kings. I mean, even when I went to Fanfara, Joe Smith, ringside seats were like 125.
125. That's not bad for ringside.
I mean, and you know me, I finessed my way into the front row because if y'all remember, I caught that picture of Fanfara's family.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Like,
shout out to the OG ring people.
Yeah, man. It's like the thing is with fights, you have to pretty much almost like a fighter pick and choose your battles with a fight because. One thing I cannot stand is paying a lot to go see a fight and the fight is either trash or my fighter loses. Now, that's when
so
I cannot.
Here's my
hold on, I have to finish. I have to let the people know I went to the Broner Vargas fight and that's one of the worst fights I ever seen in my life that I paid for. And the reason why is because it had all the buildup. Like, all the energy was in the building. Before the fight tipped off, it was all the energy was in the building. The fact that the fight went the way it went, and it, like, AB wasn't doing what he was supposed to do, and it came out of draw, it was horrible. Like, the whole experience was horrible. Like, I regretted going driving up to New York. I regretted buying the fit to wear. I regretted putting the hotel ticket, all of it. Like, that's just how I feel when the fight don't go your way, when you pay too much for a fight. And I thought I paid too much, and that fight was only $125. And I felt like I paid too much.
I said the same. I mean,
same
you
seat.
Drove all the way to New York, where King P is from, and I think he's in the house now.
What up, P? Yep.
What up?
Boy, man, we live. Tell the people where they...
Yeah, you ain't speaking clout yet, boy.
Okay. What up? It's your boy, Pete. You already know, bringing that New York flavor. Repping Ringside Reds and Bodega Boxing. You already know what it is.
Nah.
Man, I agree with you, though, man. You don't, like, go into a trash... There's nothing worse than feel like you're paying to go see a really, really trash fight. I can honestly say that I think the only fight that I've The only car that I went to, honestly, that I feel like it was not up to par was the Charlo car in December.
From December, wow.
And you didn't pay for that.
Exactly. I didn't even pay for that.
Disrespectful.
If I had to pay for that, I would definitely have been pissed. I would have been like, I want my money back. Like,
he would be writing letters to PBC.
I mean, I guess I'm lucky in the aspect that the fights that I've seen when recently, like within a couple of years, you know, they're worth my money. I mean, obviously, I told you guys the worst fight I've been to that I've actually paid money for was originally supposed to be Alan Green versus Elider Alvarez, but Alan Green. Ooh. But Alan Green, it was the ESPN card. It was a Friday night fight card. But Alan Green decided he didn't want to fight because he had he was like 5 pounds overweight. But he decided, he had food poisoning, quote unquote. So the co-main event, which is Billy Dib versus Mike Oliver, that was bumped up, and I had ringside for $100, and I was steaming pissed that I had to watch that struggle shit. And I drove 2 hours straight from work in traffic to go watch that fight.
And it's worse for a lot of y'all, for most of y'all, because especially you, Pat, because no fucking fights come to the New England area. So if you're getting one fight every couple of years in the New England area, it better count for something. At least with me, if I go to a trash fight, I know they'll be back in New York soon. So I can just go to the next fight and it'll be all right.
Yo,
wait a minute.
Why are you going to disrespect news and I like that?
Like, we're not even. We're just an afterthought.
You need to think. I'm in Colorado. No.
To be
it rains fire in Ohio.
Hold on. This is just me kind of fucking with Pat because he's always complaining that no fights ever come to Boston. Because why would you come to Boston or Connecticut and come to New York? So that was kind
especially
of
especially if you were a black guy there.
I couldn't imagine. Yeah, shout out to Andre.
Shout out to Andre. Demetrius Andrade for showing up to fight.
Yeah, he definitely holds it down for the Providence.
Yo, that's like me fighting. In, like, is there a racist version of Africa?
What?
What the hell?
What the fuck? What, are you okay, man? What the fuck's wrong with you?
Nah, I'm just playing.
Well, look, man. What about this? So, we did the live streams on Saturday during the fights. How do y'all feel after the fight? Because we didn't do the live stream during the Anthony Durrell fight. So, how did y'all feel about how that played out when Anthony Durrell won the vacant WBC Super Middleweight Championship?
I thought it was the right decision.
I had him winning the fight, so I mean, and I could see why people thought that other dude won the fight. I forgot Yildirim, but I thought Durrell won the fight.
So I would have called that a technical knockout.
I would have too. You're right.
Yeah. So Durrell, I think, got gifted that win.
Yeah, I mean, this fight, I was going back and forth with International Rez on this fight because I told him that I thought the fight was garbage. I said, Yildirim will probably get taken out in one. And then Rez was talking, Yildirim is a lot tougher than he expected. But I was like, he got blown away, by Eubank Jr. in 3 rounds, you know? And he's just like, watch. And I was like, I didn't think he'd be right. But I'm over sitting there watching this shit. I'm like, God damn it, Anthony Durrell looks terrible. Like, he was being bullied. This is like the Sakio Bika fight all over again. He didn't know what to do when he was being bullied. And Yildirim was fighting the fight of his life because he was giving it to Durrell. Pause. Like, and the cut was opened by a punch. It wasn't opened by a headbutt. So, yeah, I mean, that should have been a TKO.
I thought it got opened by a headbutt initially, headbutt. Like a very small one. And then he just proceeded to take target practice at it.
Yeah. Yo. What up, champ?
Yo, who's here?
Yo.
Who this?
What up?
Sound of the champ in the building. The champ is here!
It's your boy Champ side in the house.
Yeah. What up, yo?
I mean, you could see deep into Anthony Durrell's thoughts with that cut.
Yeah.
And that was purely that was open from right hands.
Definitely. Yeah. It was nasty. But though, at the same time, Anthony Durrell, however, let me say this. Let me ask this, because it wasn't supposed to be this way.
Hell nah.
It wasn't supposed to be this way. And so Pat already know where I'm going with it. Mm-hmm. Anthony Durrell was not supposed to be the one that's out here constantly winning the championships out the Durrell brothers. Like, it wasn't looked at that way. Anthony Durrell, he has a resume, right? Now think about it. Anthony Durrell, for however you feel about him, at the end of the day, on paper, Anthony Durrell is 31 wins, one loss with one draw, 24 KOs, right? And he's a, what, two-time?
Two-time
WBC super middleweight champion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Where do we rank Anthony Durrell at super middleweight? As with his current resume, knowing what we have at super middleweight with the David Benavidez, with Chris Eubank putting James DeGale out of business, with the Callum Smith, with Gilberto Ramirez,
with Caleb Plant,
right? Where do we Caleb Truix?
He's the one that
put the beats on James DeGale first after Badu Jack took his prime.
Well, but Durrell also knocked out Truex in one.
Yeah, that's true. So where do we put Anthony Durrell? He's top four. He has to be top four,
yeah,
at worst, right?
Top four, yeah. Confidently, I'd put only Callum Smith above him, really.
I was going to say on paper, Callum Smith probably the only one that should be above him, but I don't even know if I'd have Callum Smith above him. What about BGS?
BJ? I mean, I think Benavidez would destroy him.
Is Billy Joe even considered a middleweight anymore? This motherfucker can't even make weight.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I'm putting him at 168. I'm putting him at 168. I mean, let's not even play with it anymore. If you got to use nasal spray to make 160, you might as well just go to, like, I mean, like, what did you have to skip over to get to the nasal spray? that's when it's a problem. Hey, you got to lose weight, shit, man. We can't. Hand me the nasal spray.
Like, yo. Yo, stop hoarding that nasal spray. You gotta lose a couple more pounds.
I mean, it depends. I mean, you have to rank him high above the others due to resume. But if they were to fight each other, yeah, I don't know about that shit.
Exactly.
He'll be 35 this year.
And he's already kind of talking retirement. He only just wants to fight, you know, the highest paydays and stuff like that. So it seems like he's shot for, and it seems like he's almost got one foot out the door, even though he's not really staying.
Yo, so I think, plus on top of that, because of how bad that cut was, I think that he'll get at least, like, a little medical suspension from fighting.
Yeah.
Like 6 months, maybe?
Probably not that long.
Three.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's PBC, so at least 6 months.
I'm just saying.
I don't even expect PBC fighters to fight more than twice a year. And sometimes not even twice a year, so 6 months sound about right.
Once a year, shout out to Gary Russell Jr.
Yeah.
Too busy doing everything else. Nah, we talking about the woke champ. He being woke
champions.
Too woke to fight.
I can't even laugh because my fighter once a year too. So fucking once upon a time service. I can't even talk shit.
I'm in a state of reorganization, destroy and rebuild. Because I don't even have a team no more. 2018 was horrible for the Ohio players. This took me all the way out. Got AB up out of here. Got Robert Easter still got to come back. I'm hoping his next fight is in Toledo for sure.
Well, shout out to Mikey Garcia.
Sean Porter. Man, Sean Porter, yes. He's definitely Cleveland. I mean, well, he definitely represents Cleveland from where he's at, but it's just different. You know what I mean? It's just different because it's not like we see him here. Like, he actually goes to my barber shop. And I told y'all that, and it's crazy because every time he leaves, my barber, shout out to Fadeaway Barbershop. Shout out to my barber, Lavelle. Every time he calls me, Vale called me, Wayne, what's up, Vale? Sean just left. Damn! What you mean Sean just left? He just left. Damn, oh my God, bro. Why didn't you hit me up? Man, I thought you was coming up here. Yeah, I was coming up there, but I would have came up there faster.
You might have to hit your wagon to Porter going forward for Ohio players.
Right, man. That, I mean, we got other people coming up, but it's just the disappointment of, like I said, you got to destroy and rebuild when you got that. And so it's just like, it's just that time in boxing, you know, where a lot of fighters at this particular time are pretty much getting set up for the year. We about to go into, I think 2019 is about to pick up because next week, well, no, isn't it this week coming up?
What?
The second is Spence and Garcia. I know, is that the 16th?
No, the 16th is Spence Garcia. The 9th is Porter Uga.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
This coming weekend, it's Laura Castaño.
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah. That's a good place, and I'm not even really excited to see that shit.
Yeah. We should be. We'll
talk
about that more tomorrow, of course. And that's another thing why I wanted us to do the fade hour for the people, because we talk about boxing all the time. Like, people don't even know that. Like, we all met talking boxing. We talk boxing like all Straight the time. Up. We can talk boxing all the time. So I definitely wanted to cut it up. Instead of us doing like a one show, an hour a week, we can throw out a little 30-minute. We can do 30-minute shows at ease, like every day. So I think that'd be better too. That way we can also continue to give the fans a new perspective and also stay up to date with everything that's going up and giving our perspective the way that they like to get it. You know, so before we wrap the show up today, though, I'm going to go back around the table one more time and let everybody, you know, tell the people where they can find you to tune in. And then y'all know.
Hey, what up, y'all? It's your boy Smoke. You can find me at Free Smoke Boxing. But if you listen to the Fade Hour once, you know me. So holla at me.
Yeah. What's good, y'all? It's Pat Scorp, the New England representative. And as always, man, just type in PA and, you know, in your search engine, the rest will take you there to fill you out, take you where you need to be. But, you know, of course, there's always, you know, Ring Gang Radio, Instagram, and then my own Instagram, Big of Pat, you know, Twitter, all that stuff, man. You know, I'm not hard to find, man, so just get at me.
We need to get this nigga Pat to audition to be the next most interesting man in the world. Right?
Black card Pat.
You said I sound like the most interesting man in the world. But you already know, this is your boy Pete, and you know where to find me on Instagram and Twitter at Bodega Box. You already know.
What up, y'all? It's Leon. Shout out to my boy Chris Eubank Jr. putting that respect back on his name.
Hey.
Follow me at the champ side.
All right, y'all. Yeah, this your boy News representing Ringside Rave all day. Y'all know what it is with me, man. I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in for another episode of the Fade Hour. Again, this is the Fade Hour Live. This is episode 23 of the Fade Hour. Like I said, we'll be back tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern time. Y'all tune in and we'll holler at y'all then. We out.
Yeah.